After a big NFL Sunday, we always have the company of former Bears quarterback Jim Miller.
Hold on. Did Wes Welker shave his mustache after the game?
Look
at that.
Yeah, he did.
He had the mustache during the game.
Pull the Caleb Haney.
He did just like Caleb Haney did in the NFC Championship game.
I just saw him post-game without the mustache. And Caleb Haney right in the middle of the game.
A tribute to Caleb. Jim is with us on the Home Run Inn Pizza Hotline. Try Chicago's number one selling frozen pizza today. Mills, how are you, kid?
I'm doing great, guys. Hopefully, Welker didn't drop his razor when he was shaving.
That's a good one.
Zing.
That was a big one, guys. I mean, to me, that's a difference in the game. And we can talk about all the plays leading up to that point. But that was the play for New England to have any shot. They needed to make that play, needed to make that catch for that drive to continue. And I think we could be talking about a different outcome this morning.
See, now, that's obviously the play. And there was a guy texting, giving me crap for not calling Mario Manningham's catch a Super Bowl winning catch. Manningham's catch puts them at the 50, and it's a big, big play. It's a huge play in the drive. But Welker's play, if Welker makes that catch, that enables what? An extra minute and a half at a minimum to come off the clock, and they get points. At a minimum, that's what you're looking at.
Oh, easily. Easily. You know, you can go back and you always say there's a handful of plays that are a difference in a ball game. And for Bill Belichick, like in his post-game press conference, you know, really the first play.
Did we lose Jim?
I think they liked that play call by Coach O'Brien, because the reason why it's tough when on your first play of the game when you're running a deep play action pass out of your own end zone. I thought Brady could have handled it differently. Like, you know, even just throwing it in the third row to the check down would have been the better option on that play. But lo and behold, it leads to a safety. I think that was a huge win in the game. And without a doubt, the difference-making play was that drop by Welker.
Was Welker in New England during your stay there, Jim?
No, he arrived after I was there. And he's obviously a great player, and he knows it. He talked about it after the game. He manned up about it. He's made that play literally 1,000 times in his career. You know, people are like, it wasn't the best throw by Brady. Brady can't lead him on his front shoulder because that safety is going to blow him up. He actually threw it in that spot to protect Wes Welker, and those receivers know that it's going to be a back shoulder like that. He had his hands on it, and he feels horrible to. You know, it's just one of those things.
Hey, Jim, was there anything strategically that either coach did in terms of game plan or adjustments that bothered you or you thought was a misstep? I thought the Patriots took their foot off the gas a little bit and got out of that no huddle and stopped playing fast at a certain point during the game.
Yeah, but I think, you know, the reason why they did that is because here they go in before the half, they get that score. And then they come out the second half and they're able to get that other score to Hernandez. And, you know, let's face it, that first half, I thought the Giants somewhat pushed around the New England Patriots defense. I think Bill Belichick was worried, hey, if we go no huddle and have a three and out, then our defense is back out there on the field. Let's do a little bit more ball control, run the clock a little bit, because I think he was a little bit worried how easy the Giants were making it look that first half offensively.
Yeah, what did the Giants run 18 plays to the Patriots
one
at one point, and they get a 9-0 lead, and then they're down at halftime 10-9.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, well, it was. I think the only thing, you know, that I thought was interesting is what the Giants were doing with Jason Pierre-Paul, you know, and all the bat downs and things like that. And people are like, why is he in coverage down there where Danny Wood had scored that touchdown? That was strategic by the Giants because they knew the Patriots were going to go to that quick game. And all year long, the Patriots' quick game has really been between the hashes. You know, hitting Gronkowski on shallow crosses, hitting Hernandez, hitting the backs out of the checkdowns. And that was just a defensive strategy. And, hey, if you see Tom Brady pull up on a quick drop, Jason just, you know, one, disengage with the offensive lineman and try and just bat down those balls. We know a high percentage of their throws go in between the hash marks, and I thought that's why the Giants had some pretty good success with that.
Jim, we've been on the air a little bit more than 3 hours. I'm out of flowery adjectives for Eli Manning, so I'll defer to you for a few moments on your thoughts on how he performed yesterday and his recent heroics in postseason play. What do you think?
You know, I'm impressed. You know, when I first signed with the Giants, I was there to bring along Eli, and I knew right then he was going to be a good player. He works his fanny off in the weight room. You know, I've had some calls this week, you know, just saying, oh, how come his arm has gotten a lot better? Oh, it's because he works hard at it. You know, he's in the weight room. He works hard. He studies the game hard. It's a very in-depth offense. He makes it look easy, and he makes the big play when it matters the most. You know, for the Patriots not to make that play for Wes Welker, conversely, the Giants did make the plays, like on that big throw to Manningham down the sideline. That 38-yarder was as big as anything, and that wasn't his primary read. His primary read was actually a smash route, which is a corner by the slot receiver, return route by the outside receiver. That was where he was trying to go to the, you know, first when he dropped back, felt a little hairy, and then he feels the game and flashes that deep go route to Manningham down the sideline. Heck of a play. He's done it all year long. Whether this signifies his legacy in terms of being a Hall of Famer, it's a good start. It's a good start for Eli. I mean, you got to give him that, but there's some other two-time winning Super Bowl quarterbacks that still aren't in the Hall of Fame. Jim Plunkett comes to mind, but Eli is definitely on his way with how he's performed.
Yeah, Plunkett's not in. The other guys with two who aren't in are still active, Ben Roethlisberger and Tom Brady. Jim Miller, you know, watching some of these guys battle the injuries. Travis Beckham blows out his knee, right?
His ACL.
And then is it Ballard, the other tight end? Do you see him trying to run on the sideline? He can't do it. And then there's Brady. We talked about it earlier, but some people think Brady got hit in the head, maybe not just the shoulder, but maybe got hit in the head on the sack by Tuck. Any wind of that when you were watching the game or with anybody that Brady might have been hurt a little worse than people realized?
No, I didn't get any indication that he was hurt mentally, but I will say this. If you go back, it had to be towards the end of the year, beginning of the playoffs, he did, it was rumored that he had a separated left AC joint. And I think when Justin Tuck, the way Tom kind of, he twirled out of that one in the second half and Justin Tuck landed right on him and he was kind of pinned on his left shoulder, and I think he re-aggravated that separated shoulder as well he did. And Tom's too tough of a guy. He's not going to come out of the game. Shoot, I remember when I was with the Patriots, he played with a 103-degree temperature because he had, he was sick before the game. Didn't matter to Tom. He's too tough, and he was going to fight through it, fought through it that game, and I thought he fought through it the second half of this game once that shoulder got aggravated.
He's got a little backlash to deal with today, and I don't know if he gives a damn because he gets to, you know, cuddle up to her every night, and that's Giselle who made some critical comments of as she was leaving the stadium last night. Mills, as a professional athlete, your take on that, if you had a wife who was on camera and audibly questioning the effort of your teammates and the production of your teammates, how would you have handled that?
Well, yeah, you don't like it to happen. Here's what I'll say. It's kind of a crazy atmosphere down there. And all the adulation and the celebration that's going on with the Giants, there's equal disappointment from the loser's side. And here everybody's, you know, yelling at her. Fans were screaming at her. And I'm down there in that locker room, guys, and I was on the field last night. There's a lot going on. And, you know, everybody in the stadium, and just here I say it, that Wes Welker probably should have made that catch. I think everybody saw it, knows he should have made the catch, and the $180 million at home knows he should have made the catch. But, you know, you just really can't say it. It doesn't come off as, you know, a lot of upside to it from her standpoint. But I'll tell you what, she took a lot of grief after that game. Fans screaming at her, you know, joking her, prodding her on, and she was frustrated, just like the Patriots were frustrated. So just kind of an unfortunate, you know, casualty from this whole event.
Goes with the territory. She's got to know that at this point. She should know that.
You would think. She's in the spotlight, and she probably should know better.
Hey, Jim Miller, if you were the Bears and hopefully were targeting a wide receiver in the offseason, should they not get franchised, you could have the likes of Dwayne Bowe from Kansas City or Marcus Colston from New Orleans, joining Vincent Jackson. Mario Manningham is a free agent. There's more on the list. Who would you target among that group if everyone were to be available?
I'll tell you what, I do like Colston that you mentioned, and I do love Vincent Jackson. I mean, I think, and I'm going to actually write an article this week for CSNChicago.com because I did some shows down here with Bill Polian The former general manager of the Indianapolis Colts. And I wanted to know about the values of the receivers. When is the best time to draft a wide receiver, or if the Bears say target a wide receiver in the draft? And the bottom line is you need a coverage dictator. You know, Akeem Nicks, say for the Giants, he's a coverage dictator at the X position. And I think that's what the Bears in their offense. I do like Colston that you mentioned. I like Vincent Jackson. And then, of course, some of the receivers in the draft that we're going to dive into, whether it's Michael Floyd of Notre Dame. And there's some other guys like, you know, B.J. Cunningham of Michigan State, or the kid from Oklahoma State. These guys are coverage dictators that, you know, if you listen to Bill Polian, the best value for those guys is really at the bottom of the first round, top of the second round. Say, like, you know, the guy from Indianapolis, Reggie Wayne, would be one that was chosen as spot. He said that's really where you get the value, but I definitely think the Bears need a coverage dictator at the X position.
Jim, thanks a bunch as always. Enjoy visiting with you. We'll be in touch when something breaks, man. Appreciate it.
All right. Sounds great, guys.
Take it easy. That's Jim Miller, good old number 15, with us on Bears Mondays. He's our Monday morning quarterback.